pick up on the lesson that was started 2 weeks ago. Plenty to complain about, but plenty more to praise God for. Plenty to complain about, but plenty more to praise God for. When we ended last week before last, we ended on the seemly incompatibility-ness that a man who have had all the unpleasant experiences that the writer of Psalms 103 had, he could pen such a psalms as that. We ended on the point that from a little teenager, David had been experiencing unpleasant things in his life. Remember, we started the lesson by pointing out that there are many men and women who live in permanent unhappiness, discontent and disappointment. There are many people, their lives, literally all the time. But what we must keep in mind, it's not just the unpleasant things that come our way that cause us to always be unhappy. A lot of times is our outlook, is how we see them, how we relate to them. Wait, I must remind you that God does not want us to live in unhappiness. So please be mindful. While the Almighty God is well aware that we live in an imperfect world, and that as a result of sin there are many unpleasant, undeserved things that are going to confront us in this life, but the Almighty God wants us in Jesus Christ to develop such an attitude that we can ride over them and don't make ourselves always miserable. As I said, let us hear a little more of the Psalms, and of course, just to remind you, and we will be getting back to it, let us hear Psalms 103 from around verse 1.
Bless the Lord,
bless the Lord,
O my soul,
O my soul,
and all that is within me.
And
blessed his holy name.
Blessed his holy name.
Bless the Lord.
Bless the Lord.
O my soul.
O my soul.
And forget not all his benefits.
Don't forget all the benefits that you get from God. Put another way, don't be an ungrateful person. Read on.
Who forgiveth all thine iniquities.
He forgives all our sins. Well, I'll be coming back to it anyway. We must keep in mind that for the ungodly or for the unfaithful Christian, it's not just so. We must acknowledge our sin and take them to him. Very important. Read on.
Who healeth all thy diseases.
He healeth all our diseases.
Who redeemeth thy life from destruction.
Wait. What does that mean? Well, when I get back to that, read, brother.
Who crowneth thee with loving kindness
mm-hmm.
and tender mercies.
Mm-hmm.
Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things.
Mm-hmm.
So that thy youth is renewed like the eagles.
So you may start, dear brother. The person who wrote the Psalms did not born with a gold or silver spoon in his mouth. I was on the point, as I've said, to remind us of the life of this man. As a young man, he was attacked by wild beasts while attending his father's sheep. As a young man, his older brothers criticizing severely, that had the effect of undermining his self-confidence. As a young man, the person who should have loved him more than anybody else, that person hated him bitterly and provided him with two wives. Not at the same time, of course, he provided, gave him one wife now and another one afterward, and that was primarily to bring destruction to David's life. And how it works is that, you know, our ego gets us into a lot of problems. And Saul calculated that with the promotion that he, Saul, would give David, bringing David into the royal family, David would be prepared to do anything to marry to Saul's daughter. And therefore he sent David in danger to kill so many Philistines. And as a young man, young people today, you see, our ego, the self, can be a problem. Proving things to people can be a problem. So David set out to go and kill the Philistine, but God was with David, and he succeeded. He gave him another wife for the same reason, because Saul's calculation was that in permitting his ego to direct him and going out to challenge those Philistines and to bring their head or whatever back to me, he would get killed. But David was successful. But not only that, David was also a fugitive. And may I add, a vagabond. That is, he was running and hiding from his very shadow. Because Saul, the king, was out to get David. Not only that, David knew what hunger was. David knew what deprivation was. David knew what need was. Not only that, but one of the very good things that happen in his life, it was taken from him. And that is friendship. Friendship is one of the most positive things. That is genuine good friendship. Wait, I'm not talking about friendship where the person always tell you what you want to hear. That's not good friendship. Good friendship is where, because that person has your welfare at heart, they will always be truthful and be above board with you. David had a good friend in the person of Jonathan. But then Jonathan got killed early. The lives of his parents were in danger because of the hatred that was directed towards David. David, you could say he was without home. He was without friend. He was without covering over his head. And nobody dare assist David because that was equal to treason. If you grant David assistance and Saul knew about it, you would be killed. Now, we talk about the man who wrote Psalms 103. When he became king, he experienced civil war. Are we there? When he became king, one of his sons murdered another son. Are we there? When he became king, there was incest in his family. One of his sons wanted to have sexual relationship with his sister. That is David's son, wanted to relate sexually to one of David's daughters. Are we all there? One of his sons want to overthrow him from the throne. That is, want to kill his own daddy and take over the throne. Oh my God. In the man's life, there was conflict upon conflict. Look at 1 Samuel. Second Samuel chapter 3 verse 1. And chapter 7 verse 1. Quick, brother.
Now there was long war between the house of Saul and the house of David.
Mm-hmm.
But David walked stronger and stronger.
Mm-hmm.
And the house of Saul walked weaker and weaker.
So the man, you know, just get like a piece. You know, in your life, there was war between Saul, descendant, and the house of David. The brother read chapter 3 verse 1. Look at chapter 7 verse 1.
And it came to pass, when the king sat in his house, and the Lord had given him rest round about from all his enemies.
You get the drift here? That is, the man had no rest for a long time round about. Everywhere the man turned, there were challenges and danger and conflict and upheaval. But here is a point where the Bible says the Almighty God gave him rest from all his
enemies.
That meant he had a lot of enemies round about. This is the man who wrote Psalms 103. Bless the Lord. Now, how can you find reason to bless God in these situations? The man's entire life was one of conflict, and most of it did not cause through any evil of his. Yet, with all of these dark, black, negative, and unpleasant experiences, he was able to pen such a great psalms at thanksgiving, gratitude, and worship. And is mindful of so many of God's benefits. Are we there? Brothers and sisters, I have often said here that the Almighty God can reverse, transform all the negative things that happen to us. But not only, when God does not reverse them or change them, God has the ability, the power, and the love to give us the wherewithal to deal with them. Are we there? In this life, there are mixed fortunes. You see, the life where there is one straight peace, happiness, contentment, no sin, no tears, no frustration, no sickness, that life has not yet come. This life, sin is here, and it brings all sort of things our way. So in this life there are mixed fortunes. Wait, I'm not saying that the Almighty God is asking us to accept and be comfortable with the unpleasant things. The Almighty God wants us to look to Him for strength and guidance. The Almighty God wants us to do whatever in our power that is right to address the negative things which come our way. But He never wants us to feel that the negative things which come our way are bigger than God. They are not. We are there. Christians experience financial challenges. Christians experience health issues. Christians experience family or domestic or home problems. Mind you, some of these we bring them on ourselves. Are we out there? Mind you, some of these we do not put out the necessary effort to bring the peace in our lives, in our home, in the family, the church, whatever that we need. A lot of times, we just galanso. But what I'm saying, in this life, I don't want you to have unreasonable expectation of God. In this life, different things happen to us that are unpleasant. Sickness, financial problems. And does not this? Paul had health issue. Are we there? A And he prayed to God about it. I'm sorry that the Almighty God did not see the need to reverse that. But I'm glad for the lesson that we got there. God, in effect, is saying to Saul, Paul, with the strength that I will give you, or that I'm going to give you, you can live with your ailment. And you can still function for yourself and for me with that ailment. There are other people in the Bible. Timothy had a stomach problem. That was a faithful young preacher. In the book of 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 2 and 3, or rather verse 23. Let me hear verse 23.
Drink no longer water, but use a little wine for thy stomach's sake and thine often infirmities.
So watch here now. Christians, some of us more so than others, will have infirmity now and again. Did you all get the drift? Oft infirmity. That is, when you get sick, Timothy, this is a good remedy. Are we all there? Of course, there are a lot of medication today. May I? And give God thanks for medication. So you don't have to turn to the wine to become an alcoholic. You see, give God thanks for medication and other natural things that God has. May I? Let me just. One of the things that sometimes runs through my mind is the fact that the very people who should see the manifestation of the work of God are the very people who take unto themselves the praise that they should give to God. And that is the scientists. The scientists. The Almighty God has placed in man a great intellect that the things that God has put here in the plants and in nature, we can, over the past many hundred years, be discovering them, finding out that they are there. Everything that man benefits from today comes from something that God has made. And instead of the scientists turning to God and say, what a great God you are to have placed all this great benefit right here in nature, the scientists deny God and take credit to himself. There are so many blessings that God gives man. But back to the point, we were on the point that Timothy, not only Paul got sick, Timothy got sick and was instructed in respect to what to do. But not only Timothy and Paul, Epaphroditus, one of Paul's great assistants, got sick. We learn of this in the book of Philippians chapter 2 verse 25 and 2:27. Quick.
Yet I suppose it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, and champion in labor and fellow soldier, but your messenger and he that ministered to my wants, for he longed after you all.
Epaphroditus longed after you, Philippians. He wants to come to you. He wants to be a servant in the gospel to you. He has been a great assistant to me. Read.
And was full of heaviness, because that he had heard that he had been sick.
Now you Philippians heard that Epaphroditus had been sick.
For indeed he was sick.
Truly he was sick. He wasn't pretending.
Nigh unto death.
Wait. Christian gets sick until they almost die. Well, sometimes they die. Sickness. That's this life. He was sick nigh unto
to death, but God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also.
Yeah, brothers and sisters. So the Almighty God does not forget his people. In our sicknesses, in the other issues and challenges and unpleasant things that we face in life, the Almighty God does not forget his people. Remember the lesson? Plenty to complain about, but plenty more to give God thanks for. May I? Sometimes when you are faced with challenges and problems of different sorts, see if you can find a bus fare and think of somebody you can visit at the hospital. Yes. Just sometimes visit the hospital. And you know that what that will do to you? It will show you the many dozens, and if you have time to walk the ward, the many dozens or hundreds of men and women who are not able to move about like you are able. It doesn't mean you don't have issue and problem, you know. But with all of those problems, you can probably take the bus. You can go about your business. But a lot of times we are so drowned by those, we forget that God is still blessing us. So sometimes just visiting the hospital and seeing the many people who cannot move will make you walk out from there and say, thank God you have been good to me. Plenty to complain about, but plenty more to give God thanks for. Psalms 103, let us hear it again. Bless.
O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits.
Brother Jonathan, hold that psalm. May our brothers and sisters, I repeat something that I've said previously and come back to just make a point. The Almighty God can reverse or transform or turn to our benefit whatever the negative that confronts you or me. Are we all here? Genesis chapter 41, verse 51 and 52. Let us hear it, this passage. Genesis 41, verse 51 and 52. Let us hear that passage.
And Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh.
Joseph, now here is another life. Are we all there? I imagine Joseph probably had many chances and time when he wondered why he was so bitterly hated by his brothers. I mean, his brothers. It was one bad luck after another. Did you know that's why some people give up in life and become totally negative? Everything they touch, it just go bad. And they wonder, what sin have they committed? What wrong have they done? Joseph is another life that was like that. Of course, loved by his parents, especially his father. He loved his brothers. They hated him. And when they did all the evil to him, and there Joseph was a good employee. Huh? And so dedicated an employee the man was, that was used against him. His master's wife not only made advance to him, but lied on him. And if that was not enough, the man was thrown into prison. And if that was not enough, the prisoner to whom he was so good forgot the kindness that Joseph showed him. Are we all there? But watch here now, watch here now. Read that again, verse 51, brother.
And Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh.
Wait, he called the name of the first child, God bless him with, Manasseh. You know what that Manasseh means? Help me to forget. That's the meaning of Manasseh. Help me to forget. This man had many things in his life that he needed to forget. Listen, the name of the second son. Read, brother.
And the name of the second he called Ephraim. For God has caused me to be fruitful in
that the land. That is, the meaning of Ephraim is fruitfulness. So the very name that he gave his children depicts, or rather was represent, his bitter and pleasant experiences. Are we all there? Read again, Brother Spahn.
Bless the Lord, O my soul,
mm-hmm.
and all that is within me. Bless his holy name.
All that is within me, bless his holy name. Read.
Bless the Lord.
Bless the Lord.
O my soul,
mm-hmm.
and forget not all his benefits.
May I? Bless here does not mean just saying bless God. No. The word bless when applied to the Almighty God means to praise Him, to honor Him, to worship Him. Remember that throughout the Old Testament, whenever you read Psalms, Job, or any of these books, we talk about bless the Lord. It has to do with praising God. It has to do with honoring God. It has to do with worshiping God. These recalls. Did you say recall, Brother Mitchell? Yes, that's what we have in Psalms. There were things that David was recalling in respect to God's blessing. These recall our remembered benefits call for all our powers and faculties. Our soul, bless the Lord, O my soul. All our faculties, our soul, our mind, our intellect, our heart, our will, our affection, our emotion to praise and worship God. You want to show God how appreciative you are in respect to His goodness and mercy in your life? in spite of the unpleasant things that you face, show that in worship to God. That's exactly what David is saying here. When you think that God provides food for you, when you think that you have been ill, probably many times, and God bring you around, or at least God still hold you up in spite of that illness, because any illness can take our lives, but God still holds us up. When you think of the many accidents that you could have been in, but God saved you from them. In fact, read, brother, there is a particular verse there.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction.
That's it. You know, one of the things that is that phrase is applying is referring to the many danger that you and I face that we didn't even realize the danger we face, and God saved us from them. Who redeemed thy life from destruction? A lot of times you and I go about our business with smile on our face, and we don't realize that we have just passed a danger few chain away. God save us from them. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Worship, praise. The repetition in verse 2 again.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits.
Remember, he had just said this in verse 1. The repetition indicates the intensity and the depth and the earnestness of his wish and desire to worship and praise God. Bless the Lord, O my soul, that is worship God. If for no other reason, but for the many benefits you get from God. Amen. Over and over I said, when worship time comes, be it Wednesday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night, we should line up, waiting for the place to be open. That's what this is, when we talk about, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Give to God the praise, the worship, the honor. Who wrote the Psalms, Brother Mitchell? A man who had gone through hell, bear it. He could spend Psalms like this. For the true child of God. Forever dark, or ever mysterious, or ever perplexing, or ever vexing and disappointing life may have been or appeared at times, at the end we will see that the Almighty God is able to work all things out for our best good. A lot of time we do not see that when we are going through the crises. But at the end we can look back and say, what a great God God is. Look at verse 11 through 12 or 13. Read, brother, we are coming down to the end of the lesson.
For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth.
These verses, they are telling us of the the width and the breadth and the depth of God's mercy and God's love towards those who fear Him. Wait, you must remember, it's not to everybody. Amen. Men and women who reverence, respect, fear, love God. The Almighty God has a special place. What He said about us, the heaven is higher than the earth.
For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them.
We need that kind of mercy. Huh? We need it. Read on.
Toward them that fear Him, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us.
May I? Are you there? So far as He removed our transgression from us. Brothers and sisters, this is one of man's greatest blessings. Are we all there? The forgiveness of sin. Why is it so, Brother Mitchell? Because sin is our greatest problem and our greatest enemy. The fundamental concept in the Old Testament in reference to forgiveness is the separation of the sinner's sin from the sinner. That is the fundamental Old Testament concept of sin. Covering is part of the Old Testament concept. In fact, there are three Old Testament words for forgiveness. But the fundamental one, the one that is often used in the Old Testament, is where the Almighty God removed the sinner's sin from the sinner. And the brothers just read it. As far as what, brother?
As the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us.
When you and I meet God's condition for forgiveness, you know that's why the Bible says that our sins He will remember no more. When you do what God says for your forgiveness, God get rid of that sin forever and ever. So we have the word kafar, the three words translated forgiveness. The word kafar, Hebrew, it means to cover. The other word for sin used in the Old Testament is the word nasar. In fact, it's really NASA. NASA. And it means to lift away. But then the other word now, the third word used for sin is the word S-A-L-A-C-H, salak. That word means to send away. That is the word that is used in Leviticus 16 and verse 21 and 22, to lift or to send away. Let us hear that passage.
And Aaron shall lay both his hands upon the head of the live goat, and confess over him all the iniquities of the children of Israel, and all their transgressions in all their sins, putting them upon the head of the goat.
Brother Jonathan, that goat represents Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That goat represents Jesus Christ. Don't move, brother. When we take our sin to Jesus Christ, if you ever want a picture of what is done with that sin, go to the to the scapegoat. If you want to call him the scapegoat, that's right. Go to the scapegoat, because the Almighty God said to Aaron, raise your hand and go and confess all the transgression and all the sins of the Israelite people. And what else, brother?
And shall send him away.
Send him away!
By the hand of a fit man.
That is one of the concepts.
Into the world.
He remove our transgression from us. And the writer of Psalms 103 had enough knowledge, reverence, appreciation, and gratitude. He mentioned forgiveness as God's first benefit. Because nothing we need more than forgiveness. Now we are there. We are wrapping up, but you also notice how he lists in orderly fashion the benefits of God. Let me hear a little more, brother. Verse 3, I think.
Who forgiveth all thine iniquities.
It's no accident that that is mentioned first. Because of all the goodness of God that you and I benefit from, none is equal to forgiveness. You know why? All our problem here, all our tears, our frustration, it's caused from sin. In fact, in wrapping up, if you are here today and you are not a Christian, you need to come to Jesus Christ to obey the gospel, to get forgiveness more than you need anything else. Now notice, who does what, brother?
Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases.
He heal your diseases.
Who redeemeth thy life from destruction.
That is all the danger you and I pass through, or pass us, some of which we are not even aware of. But the Almighty God is protecting his people.
Who crowneth thee with loving kindness.
The Almighty God loves and cares. The Bible talks about he crowned us with loving kindness. God is kind to us.
And the tender mercies.
And his mercy towards us is tender.
Who satisfies our mouth with good things.
This is talk about the physical blessings of life. Every one of us today going home and we have something to eat. And if you are going home today and have nothing to eat, speak to one of us after church. That's no joke. Speak to one of us. Because if the Almighty God has blessed some of us, or blessed us, we need to share that blessing. But knowing our situation, while we understand that there are people sometimes who are destitute, we are going home today and there is something we can find to eat. We must not take that for granted. We must not tell ourselves, that is owed to me by God. God owes us nothing. We owe the Almighty God everything. Read a little more, brother. Let me finish now.
Who satisfies our mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles.
That's right.
The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy.
Now here he's rattling off some great benefit. Had it not been the way things are that has just been stated, none of us would be here now. You hear that? That little part again, brother. Quick now. You're holding up the lesson.
The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy.
Had it not been like that, no human being would be on the earth anymore. It's God's mercy, His slowness to anger, His plenteous in mercy that has kept us being here. The Almighty God giving us more time to repent and to be more Christ-like. Thank God for that mercy that is plenteous. So brothers and sisters, we don't have time today to read a verse or two from Romans chapter 8 that all things work together for good to them that love God. All the unpleasant things that might be happening in your life or my life, a lot of times I repeat, we may not see any benefit while we are going through them. But ultimately, the Almighty God will help us to realize that they were for our best interest. Trust God. God loves you, He cares for you, and He's working for you. With all the hundreds of things we have to be complaining about, we have a few thousand to give God thanks for. If you're here today, if you're not a child of God, we want you to recognize God's goodness. And on the basis of God's goodness, we want you to see good reason to give your life to Jesus Christ. Christians, if you're here today, you are a backslider, you are a weak Christian. Here, the Psalms give us reason we should live lives of worship. That's what Psalms 103 is about. Not just now and again worship. Sacred worship. Time that is set aside for God. And we set it aside gladly because God is worthy of it. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Mean worship God, honor God, reverence God. Then don't be a person of ingratitude. Be a person who is full of gratitude, thanksgiving. That's why you will worship God and give Him the praise and the honor that is His. Right now we're going to stand and ask, if you have not yet given your life to Christ, you can come believing, come repenting, come confessing Christ's name as your Lord, and come submitting yourself to baptism for the removal of your sin. If you're a child of God who has strayed, backslidden, grown unfaithful, come now and recommit your life to Jesus Christ as we stand and sing. Psalm number 3.